What's going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, Three and Out Podcast, coming to you live from Miami. I guess it's Radio Row. I'm going to rename it Podcast Row because that's what we're doing, podcasting. I see Gottlieb's gone. I'm here burning the midnight oil. You know, it's 6:30, no big deal. Sirius XM, we got CBS. We got all the movers and shakers in Three and Out Podcast right in the middle of it, boots on the ground. I just did an interview with a friend of mine who happens to be the Niners play-by-play guy, Greg Papa, on radio. He used to do the Raiders for about 20-plus years. He does basketball, baseball. He does every sport, but football is his passion, and he's just I'm going to the Clevelander tonight to have some drinks with him later. I think some people are going to be there, so I'm fired up on that. I've ran into Rob Gronkowski, Michael Vick. Had just BS'd with Jerome Bettis, no big deal. It is kind of cool. Like, I've truly been starstruck in my life. Brett Favre, I remember meeting when I was in the NFL, and he came, we were playing the Vikings, and he was hurt, and he came to say hi to Andy, and I just remember him walking by me, like, kind of put out his hand to shake it, just being cordial, and I just kind of froze. And I mean, I'm not trying to act like big time, because I'm not, but I've never done that before, but I did to him. And you kind of, you know, the little kid, because if you work in sports, and I've been lucky enough to make a profession about it, you do it because you love doing it. Like, I wouldn't be in sports. I guess there are some people that I don't even know if they like sports. You know, you should be a fan. And when you grew up, and if you grew up someone like not like Kyle Shanahan, who's around it from birth, I remember when I was in like fifth or sixth grade at Pioneer Elementary, and UC Davis would send the Aggie football team to school to like read us a book. It was pretty cool. Let alone the first time you meet a professional athlete when you're young, it's just it's an unreal experience. And this you just walk by and you're like, oh, there's, you know, Jerome Bettis, right? There's Rob Gronkowski. Now, he younger guys, probably not as much. It's more like this morning. I'm walking into the media center. All of a sudden, this guy's walking right at me. He's like, what's up? And he says it first. And I look, and it's Anthony Munoz. And I kind of have something in my throat, and I can barely say hi back. And I'm like, that's Anthony freaking Munoz, arguably the greatest left tackle in the history of the sport. Couldn't have been nicer. Just said hi. It looked like he was walking with his wife. So it's kind of a geek-out fest. Now, you can say, be a pro, and you can be a pro, but you can still have a little fan in you that gets to enjoy, like, how cool, how freaking cool that this is, and just seeing some of the legends. I mean, the legit legends that litter the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio of the game. It'd be like the equivalent of like the NBA of like Michael Jordan and Dr. J and Shaq. Just people like that walking around. That's this. Just with football. You know, it's just crazy. And I've had to kind of take a step back. I think it's easy with everything that's happened this week and just put everything into perspective. Just be like, you know, take a deep breath. Enjoy this. Then you factor in, you know, my hometown team I grew up rooting for and the guy that gave me a start in the NFL in this game. It's pretty special. And I'm before we get into Pop, I think that's my one takeaway so far. It's just this game is big. It feels big. It feels like the two best teams. Definitely the Niners are the best team probably in the league start to finish. The Chiefs, while their record, I know they were the two seed. They hit some weird times in the middle of the year. But I think it's pretty clear they're high end because of their quarterback. They're an elite team when as long as he's playing. They're flawed, right? Their defense, their linebackers have some issues, but that offense is just elite. The quarterback is beyond special. The offense is just unreal. The Niners are just a well-balanced, ass-kicking machine, and we get to see it. And, you know, last year was the Rams-Patriots. It was 13-3. And Gurley was a shell of himself the last couple weeks, and remember they had to ride C.J. Anderson in the game, and just you watch the game, you're like, ugh, just are the right teams in this? You know, and there have been years where it just doesn't, you know, Denver, Seattle, you're just like, ah. Then there have been years, Seattle, New England, or even the Philly year when Nick Foles took them there, and you felt early on, like, we got a big-time game. And I really think that's what we're going to get. We got two really focused teams. The other night at the media night, now part of this is just the culture we live in. No one's really going to talk shit about other people, right? You're not going to blast them. But it's just two pretty focused groups, two really mature groups. I guess Frank Clark talked a little bit, but, I mean, whatever. He called out D Ford. It's like, bro, you guys play the same position. It'd be one thing if, like, Tyreek Hill, who actually called Richard Sherman the GOAT, if, like, I'm going to smoke Richard Sherman. That's really the only thing I'm missing from this game is, like, Nick Bosa going, Patrick Mahomes sucks, or just something like that, because I would die for that. Partly because as a sports fan, not just a podcast host, but as a sport, I like that stuff. I like it when an athlete, an elite guy, like I saw Deion Sanders today, and he would just be like, yeah, this guy can't get one catch on me, this quarterback's, and he could say that stuff. Jalen Ramsey might have jumped the shark a little bit, but I do, there's an element of Jalen Ramsey I appreciate. I love watching an old school, like, NBA classic documentary. It's like Larry Bird walked into the three-point competition, kicked open the doors, and said, which one of you mother bleepers are finishing second? And it's just, you know, Larry's one of the most notorious trash talkers in the history of sports. Like, I like that. And that's one thing, you know, that's I might be shooting for the moon there, but that's really, to me, it feels like the only thing we're missing, because we get two elite coaches, two of the best play callers, not just in the, I mean, Andy's one of the best play callers in NFL history. I'm not trying to get ahead of myself, but clearly Kyle's got a chance to be right up there. Good players everywhere. I mean, you just remove Patrick Mahomes, you got Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Honey Badger, who's just a badass. Then you go to the Niners, you got Kittle, you got Sherman, you got Bosa, you got Armstead, you got Buckner. You just got studs. Just even this Debo, this looks like a freaking baller. It's hard not to just think this has a chance. You never know. I mean, it's why you play the game, right? But it feels like this game has a chance to just kind of live up to the hype, and you feel it this week. It's just the other thing that's cool in a day and age, and maybe the Kobe story has an impact on it. It feels like this week has just kind of been about football. You know, sometimes these weeks take on a life of their own with whatever social commentary is going on in the real world. And I'm not saying that stuff doesn't matter. It does. But if I want to watch it, I'll go to a political channel. When I get to the Super Bowl, when I get to the NBA Finals, when I get to the Final Four, I just want to enjoy the game. And maybe that's a little bit of a purist in me. And again, if that the game means you're like, well, John, you're just talking about them talking shit. Well, that's part of the game. Like, I don't think the guy can guard me. That's just real life human stuff. I'm glad this has just been about football. I'm glad media night, again, I didn't go, too big of a zoo for me, just felt like a lot of legit football questions. And when I'm talking, I just mean the game. Sometimes in this business, and again, I'm guilty, we can weave our way away, and we get into all the fluff about just hypothetical stuff, even in the off season. And don't get me wrong, I love that stuff. Who's gonna return? Who are they gonna keep? Who are they gonna trade? Like, sometimes even that loses sight of the game. That's been a big problem with the NBA. It's talking about all these hypotheticals and actually the sport. And I think this year, it's been a really good year for the NFL. Obviously the ratings are up, but I think it's been a lot of substance behind the sport. A lot of teams, you know, starting really once the playoffs start, you could have seen four or five teams be in the Super Bowl. We had some big upsets in the playoffs. We had some breakout stars this season. We had a lot of stars sustain their greatness. We saw some chinks in the armor of some older guys. Eli just retired. Phillip Rivers might be done. The Chargers, you know, Tom Brady's coming down the home stretch. Drew Brees got a month to decide if he's going to retire. Like, a lot of good football stuff. Even the stories have been, like, tangible on-the-field stuff, which is just cool. And I know for me personally, who got into this, because I loved the game, and I love games in general. Like, I love watching the games. And this game, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that, you know, people keep, who do you want to win? Like, yeah, I mean, my family and my close friends and my listeners of the other podcast, Haber Middlecoff, it would be great if the Niners win. But, I keep kind of getting back. You know, Coach Reed means a lot to me. And I've been a huge fan even once I left Philly and he went to Kansas City. And it's hard not to root for him, to be honest with you. It's kind of a tough spot, and Brett Veach. But, you know, I like John Lynch a lot, too. It's a hard one. It's just a lot of good people in this game, and hopefully a lot of good football. But let's get into my interview with the voice of the 49ers, Greg Papa. Okay, special guest here, a friend of mine, as versatile of a play-by-play broadcaster, maybe in the history. Maybe there's some guys on your level. He's done the Raiders. That's where many people probably know him. He's now first year with the Niners. One for one, 1 year Super Bowl. Called the Warriors, called the A's, called the Giants. Done it all. San Antonio Spurs.
Indiana Pacers.
The voice
before you were born, probably.
The voice of the 49ers, Greg Papa. How you doing?
How are you, Johnny?
I'm doing good.
We are very good friends.
Very good friends.
Very good friends.
What's new?
I don't know. This guy, Andy Reid, you know, he's finally got back to the Super Bowl. Been a long drought, so.
So you've been what? Who's had a longer drought? You were 0-2. Ooh. He was 0-4. Yeah. You got him beat.
Yeah.
Your last.
I don't quite have Dick Vermeil.
That's true.
But I'm there.
What was Vermeil? 20?
Yeah,
81?
Well, Vermeil was there with the Super Bowl 15 when he lost to the Raiders. And then, Dick had a reason. He went and worked television. In fact, he worked with Brent Musburger on ABC for. Brent was gone. Coach Vermeil was gone about 15 years when he was doing college football. Great broadcast.
Longer than Gruden.
Yeah, because John last 10 years? 9 or 10?
10, I think.
Whatever it was. And then, the last Super Bowl I was at was Super Bowl 37.
Bear Robbins never came back from Tijuana?
No, it was my fault, actually.
We're not going to have that problem here, huh? Jimmy's not going to go to Cuba or anything?
Well, no. Tijuana's far from here, so you're probably not going to go there.
That is true.
You may go to Cuba or something, but no one. But you know what? I think with
Are different? Or?
No, but Barrett had issues, and there were a lot going on that week with him and his family. But the one thing about this game, and even as a broadcaster, the one thing I remember when I did do Super Bowl 37 in San Diego was I got a little nervous. I got tight early in the game in particular, and it's just, you know, every call you make is going to be there forever.
Yeah.
And you don't want to screw it up. And I'm just a play-by-play guy. As a player, you don't want to be the one to make the big mistake. So I think.
Luckily, the way that game went, they just played Tampa Bay highlights.
No, I mean,
what was the final score?
We made several mistakes. I don't even know. We came back at the end. We blocked a punt. Jerry Porter caught a touchdown. It was lopsided right away. They scored right before half. Keenan McCardell on a back shoulder right in front of Charles Woodson. But Charles came back that year. He had a broken bone of his foot. He came back to his credit and played, but he wasn't healthy. But that was the classic game where John Gruden was on the other sideline.
That was weird.
And he knew everything that we did. He practiced it.
They knew the calls.
He got Sluggo Seam, John Lynch. I was watching the NFL films before I even flew here. On Sunday morning, I'm watching that whole game back, and John Lynch knew all the calls because John told him what Gannon was going to do. We didn't change our terminology much. And you know what's funny about that game, John, when Gruden was there, 2000, the Raiders led the league in rushing. Tyrone Wheatley, Napoleon Kaufman, John Ritchie, 14 blasts.
That's what all the best teams did back then, right? Ran the ball for the most part.
But then we ran into Baltimore's defense, which was built to stop the run.
Yeah, it's the big guys inside, right?
Yeah, Siragusa and, Michael McCrary. And they kept who was the other big tackle next to Siragusa? They had two of them.
95.
You couldn't get to Ray Lewis.
Forget his name. Wasn't he like 340?
Yeah, they had big guys.
How good was Ray Lewis?
Well, Ray was – nobody touched him. Yeah. Nobody laid a finger on – I think Romo always had the stat because he was on the Raiders that year, Bill Romanowski, he was blocked like 7 or 8 times the whole year.
Like literally offensive linemen never got to him.
They had a pair of tackles, Tony Siragusa being one. Ted Washington.
Ted Washington.
Was the other one. And you couldn't get to him. But so that year we led the league in rushing, ran into a great rush defense. Gruden coaches one more year. We lose the Tuck game. Bill Callahan comes in, changes to a complete passing team. We run up against Tampa Bay, which is one of the great pass defenses of all time. But so watching the highlights back of Super Bowl 37, they Mike Gruden for that game. And John liked to run the ball. You know, John was he
still does.
Still does. And at one point he's just, don't they ever run the ball in Oakland anymore? What's going on? And then when we got our run stuffed a few times, he said, now I know why they don't run. They can't block it. But you mentioned Barrett Robbins. Losing Barrett Robbins really hurt in that game because they went to Adam True, who was the long snapper, and he was more of a tall, angular, leaner center. We couldn't run the ball.
There aren't really any situations going into this game. Is there a guy on the – Chris Jones is going to play. He's back. Are there any injuries to keep an eye on?
Shady McCoy. I ran into Shady at its opening night last night.
He's a happy, good-looking
– Exactly. And I want to say, Shady, I want to talk to you. And he keeps moving by. Perfect name for him, right? He's Shady. That guy's a Shady. Yeah. He's a Shady dude. But I looked him in the eye and said, are you playing Sunday? And he said, I am playing. I said, it's Super Bowl Sunday. You're not going to miss this game, right? Why is nobody talking about Shady McCoy and well, his availability in this game.
Because when he did play, you know, it wasn't
he's
that
still a good
it was
player.
Okay. Yeah, he can. He's never been a guy that hung his hat on
for,
speed.
But
it
for
was
one
making
game,
a miss. Yeah, catch the ball
game,
out of the backfield. Give
he's
him
perfect
seven,
for
eight touches
because they're going to put him in a gun run
for sure. Well, I think Damian Williams has been playing pretty well.
Damian's doing well, but I just to have the other element of Shady McCoy. But anyway, so. The point was, you know, it's a little like the 2002 Raiders where they didn't throw the ball. Or they didn't run the ball. It was all throws.
They don't even worry about it.
But Kansas City, the one thing, just watching the end of that.
He'll run screen passes, though, to receivers and to running backs.
But I don't know if you saw the interview Bill Cowher did with Andy Reid for NFL Today pregame.
I didn't.
It was fascinating. Because at the end of the interview, Cowher's talking to him, and he hands him a 5x8 index card. And it's got Andy's last handful of playoff games, and he circles the one where they won the game, and it's got, I don't know how many, 38 rushes for so many yards. The point was, so Andy looks at it and goes, you want me to run the ball? And Cowher said, run the ball. So but what Cowher would
this
do,
was going into the AFC Championship.
This was going into the, either that or coming, I think it was after the Houston comeback game. May have been that game too. But the point was, what Bill Cowher would do with those teams, he would Andy Reid you early in the game where he'd use Fast Willie Parker. He'd have whoever was the OC back then, Mike Mularkey.
I bullshitted with Jerome Bettis today.
Then they get the lead with Fast Willie. And then there was some point in the game where Cowher said, drive the bus over them. And they just went to Bettis. And they just milked the clock. Andy Reid did a lot of that at the end of the AFC Championship game when they got the lead. Even before, I think they hit him with Sammy over the top. They started to run the ball with Damian Williams, a lot of runs. When I think of them, I think, is Mahomes ever under center? Is he always in the shotgun? In that game, though, he got more under center, and they ran the ball a little bit more.
To me, big picture, they're a big physical back, even just like a Chris Carson type, just a guy you can rely on. To being a dominant, I mean, the greatest offense we've ever seen. You've been calling games, what, since 97?
Yeah.
Are they the best passing attack you've ever seen? Most explosive passing attack?
No.
Would that be the Rams?
Well, I think...
That New England team was pretty special.
Their speed. No, I mean, the year Brady threw 50 touchdown passes and 23 to Moss. Peyton Manning did throw 55 touchdown passes.
The Denver team?
Well, they scored over 600 points. I think they had 660.
Was that the team that got blown out by Seattle?
Got blown out by Seattle. First play of the game, Manny Ramirez, the center, snaps it over Peyton's head.
Yeah.
So, but this team has – Mahomes is an elite thrower of the football on every level. To me, this game is so much like the 84 game when the 49ers beat the Dolphins in Super Bowl, what was that, 19?
Against Marino? Was that his rookie
his
year or second
first
year?
Full year. So he came in midway through that year. He played the second half of the year. First start was against the Raiders. I remember watching him play the Bills in Orchard Park that year. I saw him at Pitt his junior year. He was
stupid,
just different. Just different. And he had the Marx brothers. I mean, that year, John, he threw 48 touchdown passes. The previous record was 36 by Y.A. Tittle.
But doesn't
that's how far, 5,084 yards. He obliterated the record.
I was born that year, but it seems like the Niners guys feel that was their.
You were born in 84?
Yeah, that was their best.
Dude,
wasn't that
why are we such good friends?
I don't know, because you're a young soul. Wasn't that their best
you're an
team?
Old soul.
Doesn't a lot of those people say that was their best team ever, the 84
49ers? Yeah.
A great defense.
Well, that was a great defense. I mean, the 94 defense with Dion.
Because then Jerry Rice came the next year.
Yeah, they didn't get Rice. They didn't get Rice yet. But the 94 team had they were talent laden.
So you're saying this Chiefs team is comparable to that 84 team?
Totally. Totally.
Was Marino a good athlete?
No, this guy's better.
This guy can move around better.
Marino.
Was Don Shula offensive mind?
Both, yeah. Yeah, he did both. I mean, what's great about Coach Shula was when he, in the 70s, when he had, you know, Zonka, Jim Kick, and Mercury Morris, they ran it down your throat. Greasy won playoff games where he threw it as infrequently as Garoppolo. And then he gets Marino. And he goes to this passing attack. The one thing about Dan, he had a tremendous arm, more for like deep digs, you know, 18-yard ins, like a Dan Fouts arm. But he still kind of powered the ball a little bit. This guy, Mahomes.
Like a Rodgers, flick of the wrist.
It's like he's breathing.
Yeah, it's
like
easy.
Throwing, like Aaron Rodgers, just like even at Aaron's advanced age, watching him warm up before the NFC Championship game.
The way it comes out of his hands.
He throws the ball. Yeah. It's just, it's like walking.
Well, how about the dagger touchdown that Mahomes threw against Tennessee?
Watkins.
It was just like
to
wham
Sammy
bam.
Watkins.
It was like, classic. Oh my God.
And you know what he to me, his athleticism is what sets him apart. He's got a hose of an arm, a whippy, like a Jay Cutler, even a Jeff George, but better. You know, he doesn't. He could throw it down the field. I mean, there have been, you know, Brady could throw a deep ball. Joe Flacco could throw a deep ball.
Yeah.
Namath could throw a deep ball. This guy can. But I think what sets him apart.
Eli has a pretty good deep ball in his
peak.
But
what sets Mahomes apart is the whippiness. And I think it's so many of the guys playing quarterback in this generation, 12 months of the year, we're going to raise you to be a quarterback. You're going to 7-on-7 drills. 3, 5, 7 step.
You
drop,
love that he does other
shotgun.
Stuff.
I love that he's an athlete.
Instinctive.
Athlete. Doesn't he play quarterback like a shortstop?
Yeah.
When he's rolling to his right, does he not look like an elite major league shortstop on a chopper to the left side of the infield where he comes in,
just playing
charges
with his
the ball,
in the yard.
Cuts across the third baseman, and then throws the ball sidearm to get it to first? And then. I thought going into the game, you got to make him go left. You got to make him go left. And then I see him going left in the game, the comeback against the Texans. He's going to his left. He can't quite get his shoulders turned to square it up. So he's like a basketball chest pass, but he does it with one hand, the one to Kelsey on the goal line.
Oh,
when Kelsey came back, it wasn't even a throw. It was like he pushed him the ball. It's like he's just has – some guys are just blessed with hand-eye coordination on another level. But throwing a football for almost everybody, there has to be an element of powering the ball. When he steps – now, the one thing to look for in this game is he loves to step into the B gap over the right guard. When you watch him, he'll move a little bit to his right.
You're saying when he's stepping up in the pocket.
Stepping up into the pocket. Duvernay-Tardif, the right guard, he's a good player. But you got to get pressure into his right to the B gap. Just watch when he's got a clean pocket and he can plant the foot and then come through.
That's where it's like heaven.
Well, then he's a little bit like his dad. You know, I did the A's games.
Could he throw hard, his dad?
His dad threw it. I remember he threw about 94 with an over-the-top curveball. And the A's lit him up. He had a 9 ERA against the A's.
They owned him.
But, I mean, he pitched with the Yankees for four. He pitched 11 years in the major leagues. A good pitcher. But the different arm angles, he's going to get the ball there. It's just the question is, can our pass rush get on him abruptly enough of the time? And I'm talking 2.2, 2.3. If he gets 2.5 even, if they can get on him enough and just rattle him a little bit, and it has to be what I liken to a burning building. It can't be where he has a fire escape to get out to the right. He could jump out a window. You got to bring it so the whole building is just going to collapse on his head. So that means equal rush, the tackles, Buckner and Armstead inside, Stefan Wisniewski, their left guard, who I know well. Power bothers him.
Yeah.
You put Bosa over him. You put Buckner, Armstead, Sheldon Day over him. Even in some situations to speed him up, you put Ford, who's, you know, D's been able to convert speed to power.
He can fly,
he's so fast. Right,
yeah.
He's a different athlete. He gained weight. When he was in Kansas City when he was young, the word was run at D Ford.
Yeah.
Because he was always hurt. He didn't lift. This year, I was watching him the other night. His neck's bigger. He's just a bigger man.
His speed off the edge is elite.
His first step is ridiculous. He's Vaughn Miller, Derek Thomas type fast. So
it's just complete
if they're going to win this game, the 49ers, I mean, they got to get home on Mahomes and knock him down, sack him. And I'm talking about not hurries. He's got to hit the ground, 15 times
Mahomes,
on the ground.
Yeah,
yes.
Getting after him. Even when he's throwing the ball, hit him.
Knock him down.
Like the Brady.
Tag
when
him.
When Spagnuolo
tag
beat.
Him every play. So he's seeing ghosts. Like there was a point in the NFC Championship game where Aaron Rodgers started to see ghosts.
Yeah.
The rush was not there. He had more time.
What happened to Cousins the week before?
He just started.
It takes you out.
And Tim Ryan, my partner, calls it the rattle rush, where you rattle him. You're not necessarily getting there. But he's starting to feel you, even when it's not there. He just speeds him up.
It's why the one guy that is unfazed anytime he plays a great Niner defense is Russell, because you can't really rattle him. And I think this kid has a little Russell in him.
Absolutely.
Because he makes the plays behind the line of scrimmage.
Totally.
You've called the last 35 years, every elite athlete from Barry Bonds to Michael Jordan to Kobe to Steph to all the NFL guys. I mean, just his 2 years. I get it. Is this one of the more remarkable players any sport you've ever seen?
Well,
he'd be the first Super Bowl, a guy who was Super Bowl champion and an MVP. He'd be the youngest in the history of the league.
Yes.
And the eye test, it's clear.
Do you remember his draft? So when I'm watching him,
Solomon Thomas?
Yeah, that trap. But I, when I'm watching him at Texas Tech, I hated him. The word I kept using, I don't know if you and I were texting then, was just reckless.
Yeah.
This guy's reckless. I see him throwing the ball from his thigh pad, underhand, like he's playing high lie. I'm like, what is he doing?
Andy and Veach love that.
So then, you know, Kafka, Nagy was there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was doing the Raider games then. So I got an eye on Chiefs. So I'm watching, I think it was Chiefs.com. I'm watching their practice video from training camp.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who is this number 15? Tom Flores used to wear 15 back in the 70s. Like, that's not Tom. That's Mahomes. I'm like, dear Lord. He's holding the ball higher now. His mechanics are better.
Well, he spent a year around Alex. Had to help. Wow. It did help.
And that was in training camp. Yeah. And then I watched all the preseason games. I was enamored with him.
Remember the Week 17 game against Denver? It was my God.
So then the next year he's named the starter. And you mentioned elite athletes that I've seen. So Mitch Holthus, who's a great friend of mine, voice of the Chiefs, comes on.
Who would ever thought you'd be doing a Super Bowl again? You know, with him.
Well, you know what? And this, what worries me in this game.
How long has he been doing the Chiefs? 20
plus
years?
Right after Kevin Harlan. Yeah, Kevin did it before. What worries me, I haven't called the 49ers, the Raiders, not one time all year.
Yeah.
But when I think of the Chiefs, it's the Raiders and the Chiefs. Raiders, Chiefs, right? You know?
Touchdown Kansas City.
Well, it's just now I'm just worried that I'm going to call the 49ers the Raiders.
Did you see him before the game?
Well, because it's the Raiders, Chiefs, Raiders, yeah. Chiefs. I'm just so embedded in that
rivalry.
See
the colors, see the team.
Yeah, so anyway.
The game will be closer, so it's
Mitch Holthus comes on the air with us. You know, it's early in Mahomes. You know what it was? But when they were playing the 49ers week three. And he got
2 years
off,
ago.
But he was, remember his Pittsburgh game the week before? It was just awesome. Awesome. What was he like? I think he had thrown 10 touchdown passes and no interceptions.
Well, his opening game against the Chargers was like, oh,
well,
my God.
Did he have four or six? The first two games, I think he threw 10.
Maybe you're right.
It was so Holthus comes on.
Hottest start in the history
of the
NFL.
It's his third game as a starter.
Yeah.
He drops. He's Steph Curry on me. And I'm like, whoa.
Says it over the air.
Yes.
And this is the
Steph
peak of
Curry.
Steph. Steph had already won two MVPs.
Steph's already unanimous MVP, three-time champion. Steph Curry's already Steph Curry. I'm like, what? I texted Mitch the other night.
You're dead
Mahomes
on.
Mahomes is Steph. Three ways. His the range on the arm. So what Steph has done, he's changed the geometry of the basketball court. Because he's shooting.
You got to pick him up at 40 feet.
You can't do that. Yeah. You're not going to go out and guard him at 40 feet.
He'll go by it.
Because then you got to lift your. Well, everybody's going back door.
But he can hit
the 40.
You
have to guard him one dribble across midcourt, and that's never been done.
Yeah.
So he's got to get that shot. He'll make it enough. And then we do have to get up on him a little bit. But now we're coming way out to guard their offense.
Screws up our whole defense.
Well, now everything's so much easier than the ball handling. The way Steph's left hand is psycho. Steph's got the second best, he and Steve Nash, the two best left-hand passing. You can't tell which is Steph's dominant hand. Mahomes, like I was talking about earlier, the basketball half a chest pass to Kelsey in the championship game, it's like a little, or the divisional game against Houston, that's a basketball play. Then the one he's probably most known for, my thing was, do not let him get out to his right. You've got to pray. If he does get out, make him roll left. So what's probably the most spectacular play is when Von Miller's chasing his ass, running him to his left, right?
Was that Thursday night or Monday Night Football?
Thursday night. Yeah. Vaughn is in Vaughn's.
He can haul ass.
He's in Mahomes. Now, Mahomes has got Von Miller chasing him. He cannot square his shoulder. He does not have time to decelerate, turn his shoulders, and front the line. He's got it. So what does he do? He throws with his left hand to Tyreek Hill. It's like that's Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And then how about the no look? Where he'll be looking this way and throw back. That's basketball. And then the other thing he does, that Steph does, is explode in quarters. Steph Curry, like Durant, when he got 32, Durant went 8, 8, 8, 8 every quarter.
Well, if he was going 50, it was
Steph
10, 10, 12, 10.
Like the one playoff game against Houston, Steph had 0 in the first half,
yeah.
33 in the second half. Mahomes... Maybe he can't get it on a neutral.
He's had multiple four-touchdown quarters.
But once he starts, John, they went 6 for 6. Yeah. 6 possessions, 6 touchdowns. He's had 28-point quarters against the Raiders. He did it, and he did it against Houston. So, like
you're
Curry,
a fan, I'm taking it.
Well, yeah.
How could you not
he's
be?
He's beatable. You know what? Sometimes I wonder if you could fool him a little bit. And
well, he's young.
Still young.
He hasn't seen
he's
it
not,
all.
This is not Johnny Unitas.
I'm gonna go the area you missed out that I heard Andy talk about earlier this week. One thing that he liked, because he knew he was a project, they actually thought that they were going to redshirt him 2 years. They were in no rush to get rid of Alex. That Week 17 game, Andy had Nagy and Childress and his staff work on the playoff game, and he just worked with Mahomes. At the end of the week before they played, he realized, God, this guy is football smart. Then he played like that. Then Alex lost the playoff game. So he said that what they really liked about him, obviously his personality, like Steph, humble guy, but why was he that way? Where he came from, his dad was a big leaguer. Being
another
around
aspect.
It, not too phased.
Second generation.
Unfazed
totally.
By the hype,
totally.
The money.
Totally.
Do you have, like Steph, unfazed by the money he made.
Second generation.
Do you have any concern that Mahomes is going to get his head too big when he gets paid? Like, he probably won't. That's a lot of money, but doubt it.
I don't know him well enough.
But I would say
but
what you've read and about him. Like
Lee Steinberg represented for me for years. Lee's coming on Radio Row to interview, talk to me this week.
Loves
Lee's
the kid.
Lee's his agent.
They love him.
He's going to get, how much is he going to get, 140?
Well, I saw that Clark Hunt must have said this yesterday. They might not do it, and I wouldn't do it either until next year. I'd play this rookie deal and just stack the team and try to win a couple. Because that number is going to be massive. And the CBA changes.
They're still way below the salary cap. You know?
So they have money.
They do have money. Now,
why wouldn't these two teams?
I wouldn't tear up his contract. I'd just extend it. I'd let him play. He's a first-round pick, so you got him for 5 years.
He's making good money, yeah.
Well, I pick up his fifth-year option right now.
Well, yeah, that's what you do this offseason.
So if you want to extend him, we're going to start in year six.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to – just like they did with Todd Gurley.
Do they with all
There's no reason to tear it up.
Yeah,
so whenever you do it, you do it. You know, you'd probably be – what if he – I mean, what injury could he suffer where you wouldn't pay him?
Yeah,
ACL on each knee, you'd still give it to. I mean, maybe if he had an elbow or something,
it would take a lot.
Yeah, I mean, but so beyond that, he is what he is. But the second generation element is also there. I just didn't get there yet. That's like Steph,
yeah.
Is you know being Del Curry's son. And it's not just the lineage and the ability in the body. It's just the poise. He said, the 49ers played the Chiefs in the preseason. I walked out with him after, just stood behind him and watched his group. He reminds me so much of Curry in just every way.
Easy going.
Yeah.
High
like
five and usher.
Breezy.
Yeah.
Like he's like some guys get.
Feel the moment
they
a little.
Lock a little. Like most NBA players, you cannot get near them.
On game day.
You can talk to Steph. I brought my family to the game. You know, we've watched him warm up. It's 6'10 for a 7'40. He comes over and starts talking to me. I'm like,
Clay's kind of like that too.
So they're just a breezy, no big deal. Not with a football player. Normally, you don't go up and talk to him the day of a game. You let him breathe. Yeah. But Garoppolo's like that too.
You would mess with Richard Sherman before a game?
He's all right.
He's
Sherman's
loose.
A little.
Yeah,
he's got the earphones on. He's kind of locked in. But I think this guy, in every regard, Mitch was right. He really is Steph. He's changed the game that way.
Who's the Niners' best player?
Two best. George Kittle on offense, Nick Bosa on defense.
Bosa's incredible.
He's better than his brother.
It's insane.
I mean, his brother's so good.
Well, I had a scout tell me he thought the difference was, because he's like, listen, Joey's elite too. He's like, when you watch Nick, what's mind-blowing is how consistently hard he plays on every snap. Like when Khalil hit his peak like 3 years in, he was just playing hard the majority of the time. J.J. Watt used to be like that. It was like, God. Nick is just that play he made. Was it the Minnesota game where he like turned into a DB?
Oh, when he dropped in coverage on Dalvin Cook.
I wasn't a huge Nick Bosa fan coming out in the sense of the hype. I was like, he's not going to be better than Joey. He's the best defensive rookie I've seen in 10 years. Talking about
he's
football
better than
money.
I saw Khalil. Khalil.
Khalil wasn't
Khalil
even close
wasn't,
as a rookie.
It took him two. Khalil did not have a sack for 10 weeks.
What was Vaughn like as a rookie? He was pretty good.
Vaughn was great. Well, Vaughn's just pure speed.
Yeah, he was so unique.
So he, you know,
Alden didn't
where
start.
Vaughn,
but
where Vaughn was lacking,
run game.
Absolutely, I remember the Raiders going jumbo, putting an extra tackle over him and running right at 58.
Yeah.
I remember we ran right at him. He had to come off the field, but Vaughn. Then he went. Remember, he's doing that. Pass rushing summit, and he would have it in San Francisco.
Yeah,
and he would run on the beach though.
Yeah,
and I remember standing next to him the next year. I'm like, look at his legs,
because he's not the biggest guy.
No, but he's gotten his lower body, his trunk, his legs have gotten stronger. He's got to stand up in the run game, and I think D Ford, likewise. D was a guy they ran. We used to run at D Ford.
Well,
you didn't want to run a Tom Bali or Justin Houston.
Hell no.
You ran a D Ford.
Yeah.
So, but D's gotten a little stronger. You can't just ragdoll him. But think about Bosa's brother, Joey, was just so – he was immediately a great run player, and not just an edge setter. He could do that.
Well,
but
longer.
He collapsed the edge, shove it all in. How about the play in the playoff game where Nick gets off the block and makes the one-hand tackle? He's getting blocked on his outside shoulder. He, like, just shoves that away, comes in with his free arm inside. He's just
Well, even dominant. Lynch and those guys would tell you, we thought he was good. He's better than we thought. I mean, you have that type of rookie
like
season.
He looked like that in college, but you're thinking, can he play like that in
Then
college?
He got hurt in minicamp.
His body was so tight.
Yeah.
He looked like he may break down. And the one thing, I did an Alabama game last year, the Iron Bowl. So I watched, it was late in the year against Auburn, so I watched Quinnen Williams all year. Quinnen Williams.
Well, he's elite.
Was a dominant. He looked like Orrin Sapp.
Yeah, he was. His one year was elite.
I mean, but Nick was starting that way.
Yeah.
If you look at the first 2.5 games before he got hurt at halftime, the TCU game, he had 2.5 dominant
games.
But
the difference
is, got hurt.
The thing with Bosa, he doesn't even need, if he just maintained this for 7 years, he's a Hall of Famer. Like, you're going to naturally get better, but if he just is this moving forward, the Niners hit a walk-off grand slam. Like, that's all you want in a pick. Like,
he's just got to stay healthy.
Williams, yeah, he's got to stay healthy.
And Quinnen got hurt this year. That was the irony. He missed a lot of games.
Who you got?
Oh, come on. I didn't come
okay,
all this way.
Let's go this. Chiefs win if?
If the pass rush can't get to him, he gets out, and they're going to run by. I think the 49ers have got to get away from the cover three, a single high. You've got to play two safeties.
Do they have
high.
A fast corner?
Well, Emmanuel Mosley's fast, but you're not going to man match them. These guys are elite.
Yeah, they're tracked.
Hardman,
team.
Tyree,
and they're skilled.
Sammy, Robinson, and then what? The one formation that really is concerning to me, and they run it all the time,
bunch
is
them all
three
together?
By one.
Yeah,
they put three receivers bunched. They call it Trey left, and they bunch them all to the right.
Wouldn't you do that on the other side of Sherman?
I don't think it matters.
Why? Because you don't even know
well,
who's coming
and
where.
Well, Kelsey's the one side. So how many tight ends have you seen where they go three by one? The tight end's the one.
Well, I saw one of them today who's walking through Rob Gronkowski.
Rob got it some. I don't even think Antonio Gates, they try to hide him a little bit. He didn't have that kind of star treatment.
You could do it with Kittle if you wanted.
Well, without question.
Yeah.
But Kittle's more of an inline guy. Where they use Kittle is, you know, drag him, sneak him out underneath.
He's like a Brent Jones, Jay Novacek.
You know, block for a beat, get out.
Yeah.
Kittle's not the route runner Kelsey is. Kelsey's a better route runner.
He's just so fast.
But Kittle's a far better blocker. It's not close. But so what do you do?
Kelsey's elite at going over the middle.
I think you just – so when they go to that 3-by-1, and it's three receivers bunched, and it's always Tyreek – not always, but usually it's Tyreek and Sammy. And then the third one is either Robinson, number 11,
or
Hardman, 17.
He can fly.
And Hardman may be as fast as Tyreek.
See, his ball skills are pretty good.
So, but
he's
going to
be a good player.
So then they're all bunched, and then Kelsey's singled. Kelsey's a wide receiver. You've got to treat him like a wide receiver. So do you – when they go
Who covers him? Fred Warner or Tart?
Well, they play mainly zone. But I think
you
do
he's zone
game,
alive because he's so good at it, just
yeah,
kind of sitting in the middle
down,
and then he
blocks
you out.
I don't know if you can make the teams that have beaten them.
But you'll let him take 10 yards all day long. You don't want to give the 20 yards, do
no,
you?
No, I know,
yards.
But you can't give him 10 yards. To me, you double Kelsey most of the time. And then, well, you double Kelsey
what about
with brackets 10? In and out, and then Hill over the top.
With a safety cheating?
So they're not, I mean, they'll blitz some. And we're talking generalities here. But most snaps, you're going to rush four, drop seven. So it's 7/5. No matter what they do, they're not going to send out more than 5. So you can double 2. Kelsey's got to get the in and out, like the Antonio Gates treatment. We may even want to vice him. Now, the 49ers don't typically get this exotic.
No.
They just play their thing.
Well, that's Seattle's deal, right?
But he's
a little different.
I don't think the cover 3 is just a single high.
Yeah.
I think with this team speed here, Jaquaski Tart, I think you put Tart on one hash, or one numbers, and you put Jimmy on Ward on the other.
Kind of like Monty Kiffin, go cover 2.
You
got
to play cover 2. It could be 2-man.
Because they can't kill
you
deep.
So some snaps you play man, but it's 2-man, where it's 2-deep, man under, or it's just cover 2. And then I think you always keep
somebody over
basically
like in basketball, saying you're not going to shoot threes, we're going to guard the three-point line. We're not going to let you hit go
reps. You know what? The thing that Tyreek does.
He's so skilled.
He's such a – his speed, straight line speed, is so scary that he gets tremendous cushion on comeback routes. So you'll see him run hard at you for 17 yards. And then if you're covering him, you're like,
well, he's going 4-2.
I got to get back.
Yeah.
What if he's just running the goal by me? It's a streak. I got to get back.
Because he'll go right by
you. So he can lock it up,
well,
come back to the
elite.
Ball, make the comeback at like 12 yards. Now
he's still got a little cushion.
Five, he got 3 yards on it.
He can go left, right,
so now,
or by you.
And he's a punt returner.
Yeah. So he feels comfortable in that.
His speed is not just straight line track speed. It's football functionality start. He's like, you know, years ago they had Dante Hall. He's not quite that guy, but he'll move on you and juke you. So if he comes back at 12, you know.
He can break a soft tackle.
Breaks at 17, turns around, come back at 12, catches a splatter from Mahomes.
Goes another
20. And now
20.
He's got 3 yards on you.
I know.
Now, can you wrap? Now, that's the game.
Can you
give
open
him
field
his 12
tackle?
Yards.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some you'll tip. Some Mahomes will get out and get flushed.
Yeah.
They won't hit him every time. When they do hit that.
3 or 4 times, don't let it go 40.
Give him 12 yards.
Yeah.
Give him 7. Put him on the ground.
If he makes 2 of those a touchdown,
now,
you're in
trouble. Now, the one thing about my theory that's scary, and this is where Fred Warner's got to be dominant.
He is,
so,
though. I mean,
he's
a really good player.
So
dominant,
when
strong,
it's cover 3, it's a 3D 4 under, right? You're buzzing with 4 under.
Yeah.
Now, if we're going 2, you know, 2 safeties deep, now we only have 3 to buzz. We're taking Tart out of that. I'm thinking you shut the run game down with 7, maybe even 6 certain times.
Coach Reed might not even run it.
He might. I'd much rather have him hand it off to Damian Williams and Shady than have that guy, you know, throw all over the place.
So on the flip side, the Niners, do they just keep doing what they've been doing?
They're going to run the ball, and let's see if Kansas City can stop it. I think the Kansas City weakness of their entire team is their linebackers. And I don't what they seem to me to be doing is playing the 2 former Cowboys in the base. So you've got Hitchens and Damian Wilson. Hitchens has the green dot. I couldn't figure out what they're doing with the other green dot. I went to opening night last night. One of the things I wanted to do was interview Ben Neiman, the nickel linebacker, 56.
See if he has a green dot?
He does.
Yeah.
So have you ever heard of that?
Well, you can have your nickel linebacker have one too, right?
But most of the time the
Fred Warner's unique because he doesn't come off the field.
Right, but most guys you have one guy that does not, and the guy that wears the second green dot, your backup Mike, that comes in because of injury. So what they do is...
Well, because they don't have a true backup Mike, really, right?
Because they use Hitchens and Wilson in the base, and then they bring in Neiman. He's fast, but if he's in the game, you
like
can run.
Like for the Vikings, like Kendricks would never come out of the game.
Right. He's the green dot.
Yeah.
Bowman or Willis. Most teams have a guy like that.
Just Luke Kuechly.
Honestly, I can't think of any time, and I'm big in, you know, how much I'm
big
in
the out on this
dot.
Stuff. I know.
Because it tells you what personnel group they're going to have on
their
sub packages. So I've
what
never
shows
seen
you, it's,
a team.
It's their weakness.
So they have two. Now, what Neiman was telling me was,
oh, he told you?
Got a helmet. I should explain this. You know, so they, if they're on the field together,
he's got to take it off.
One's got to take it off.
It's illegal.
It's illegal. Can't have 2 green dots.
When are they ever on the field together?
I don't see
Not
many
often.
Snaps. Yeah. But Hitchens to me is fast. So then,
what happened? Did he get penalized?
You can't have 2. And then if you're on special teams, it's got to come off. So you got to have a different helmet.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't have time. What if we go into the no huddle?
I mean, you keep an eye on Belichick's
team.
You
got time out. We
got to
take
dots.
Our helmet off. So here's the part that a little bit confounds me.
You notice things that other people don't notice.
Well, because it helps me call the game because I got one of those. I want those
That's
in the sub package.
Yeah.
So the outlier there is Reggie Ragland. So Reggie Ragland to me is
we can't run.
He's an old school Levon Kirkland Mike.
They don't exist.
You know, big butt linebacker can't run. He comes in a lot on the nickel. Sometimes
they just don't have the bodies.
In, but if he's in the game,
you got to go right after him.
Make him cover.
Yeah,
he's not a nickel linebacker.
Well, it was like when they played Minnesota when Barr was in the game, and you get him manned up,
you
go right after.
So I don't know. I think that's the weakness of their team. So I would think, you know, and it's his clothing line, Kittle over the middle. I mean, where Jimmy is really
strong. Is
that
really his clothing line?
Yeah, his clothing line. KOTM, Kittle over the middle.
That's pretty good.
So Jimmy's so good in between the hashes. You know, where Jimmy's strong, he's getting the ball going in the middle.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes he'll get fooled by a buzz linebacker and not see him.
Eric Kendricks.
Luke Kuechly, Kendricks, he's done it all the time.
And that's why his picks look so bad, because they hit him right in the hands.
You know, but I think this linebacking crew, and even their base guys, have a hard time disengaging.
Yeah.
I see Wilson get stuck on blocks. I see Hitchens get stuck on blocks. Even Ragland. Who's one skill to me as a run player, he gets stuck on Blake, can't shed.
Yeah.
Neiman's a runaround guy you can lay on. I like Sorensen. I think he's a great player. But he's, you know, you're going to play a 208-pound
trust me, every scout's been trying to get rid of that guy for years.
He's a good player. So that's the weakness of their team, I would say, is to attack them. But to answer your question, you know, Kyle showed his hand.
Yeah.
If he can run it.
He'll run
and
it.
Get
He'll
4
just
yards.
Run, so
I mean, you know what the other commonality of this game? Not just the 49ers of 84 beating Marino, the New York Giants of 90 beating the K-Gun with Belichick. And what did they do?
How good was that offense? I was young. I don't remember.
It was fantastic. But they scored 19 points. And what did Parcells do? They ran O.J. Anderson down their ass all day. The time of possession in that game was 40-20. So the best way to stop that Bills offense, and they look at the numbers, the Bills offense.
Was Jim Kelly the player, though, this guy is?
No.
Was Jim Kelly a good player or overrated a little?
I thought he was overrated.
Okay.
I mean, he Houston Gamblers, USFL.
See, I've seen some people.
I know, could run that offense.
I know Trent Dilfer said that he sees a little Denver, Seattle, the blowout game. My issue with that, though, Peyton's a sitting duck because he can't move. This kid can move.
So
to me, it's just hard to blow them out because he can move.
Yeah.
That would be my – I'm not saying that they might not win by 15, but I don't think you could see a Chiefs game looking like that.
Well, here's the other side of it. Say Kansas City does score in the 30s. Well, you don't think the 49ers could score?
Well, they can.
They laid 48 on New Orleans. So
they don't want to play like
that,
though, right?
The 49ers
– that's not their terms.
But they could – if they have to, whatever's required. If Kansas City scores 41, we got to score 42.
If Kansas City scored 17, they're in trouble. The Niners could be fine. Right.
But even if Kansas City scores a big number. So when you break it down, the 49ers can beat you running the ball. They can beat you throwing the ball. They've done both. Their defense can shut your run game down. They can shut your pass game down.
Jimmy's thrown like 20 passes in a month.
What is the one aspect of this matchup when you size them up, the one unit that is lacking? Kansas City's defense.
Yeah.
Now, I know they've gotten better over the last 10 games.
Chris Jones is a good player.
Let's find out.
Frank Clark's a good player.
Chris Jones, I think you can run him. You know, another aspect of this game is tempo, is no huddle.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the Super Bowl is famous for gadget plays because you have an extra week to prepare. You know, Breland will double. You can double move him. He will take the cheese on some action. You can do exotic things with jet sweepers throwing the ball or reverses or the Super Bowl just historically because you watch every game they play. I mean, you do anyway. But in the Super Bowl, that extra week, you just sometimes you overcook it in your mind. But I think you also get a little more gadget plays. Like go back to Pittsburgh when they won Super Bowl 40, that Antoine Randle L. pass to Hines Ward. Wasn't that the way it went?
Yeah. No, they beat the Cardinals?
When they beat Seattle. When they beat Seattle.
Oh, in the mid-2000s with Cowher.
Yeah, Super Bowl 40.
Gotcha.
Cowher
yeah.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That game was stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
Slow-scoring game. Fast Willie broke a big run, but where they popped that game, I think it was Arians, maybe Malarkey. Just a creative offensive coordinator. Antoine Randle could throw them a quarterback in college. So they ran, you know, he threw the ball. I mean, just... And the Patriots have done that. Throw the ball to Brady. Remember Matt Ryan caught one?
Yeah.
Or Nick Foles.
Nick Foles. I mean, Philly special.
One. Yeah, I mean.
Got a statue.
Did he catch one down the sideline? Ryan.
I think they did that later. They tried it for Brady. Or maybe
Brady
Nick,
went did, off his did, fingertips,
did
right?
Did Nick catch two balls in that game?
Or did Ryan catch one? Did Kyle do it? Remember Brady just missed one off his fingertips.
In that game?
It was the game they lost. It was Philly.
It was the game they lost.
It was probably the Foles before the Philly special.
Yeah.
So anyway, I mean.
You get some weird shit happening.
Game like
onside
this,
kicks with the Saints in this open up first half.
Yeah, second half to clip that game. I mean, this is a game you're laying it all out.
Yeah.
And you know what else is a big in this game? Is quarterbacks running.
And
go back and
came.
Watch Joe Montana.
Keeping plays alive with his legs.
Well, you hit that back foot.
Mahomes did it last week.
And you just don't feel like you can hit that third down. You can't fit it in.
Yeah, you're not going to risk
run.
It. Yeah.
Mahomes is their leading rusher in the playoffs. He
what
had
about
two games over 50.
Week?
Garoppolo, if you,
move,
and Jimmy, yeah. Jimmy will lay out and dive. This is it, man. There's no game to heal up for next week. You're not playing again until September. So
what's it like for broadcast? Empty the kitchen sink?
I'm going to blow out my larynx at the opening kickoff.
I mean, are you – I'll get you out of here on this.
No, I'll be fine.
As a broadcaster, though, I mean, this is the mecca, right? I mean,
yeah,
this is –
there's no event.
Because even a World Series, you might not get to a Game 7. It's just
– yeah, it's one game, and it's –
it's the biggest event.
It's the pageantry of it.
The history.
And you know what's nice about just, you know – it's my first time being at a radio row, John, where I'm calling the game as the voice of the team. When the Raiders went to Super Bowl 37, we didn't have 2 weeks between the game. It was 1 week.
Wow.
And I remember doing my radio show, but I did it from the team hotel, So I wasn't on radio.
Kind of isolated.
Row. Well, I got more access to players because they were at the off the field. It was just different. It was more sterile to be around it. And so, you know, I love the history of the game. I've watched every first Super Bowl I remember watching live is Super Bowl IV when the Chiefs won their only Super Bowl. So I've watched every one. And then just to me, this is just a football festival of overload.
Yeah.
Where, and then, you know, when the week is over, where in years past, I'm sad. Because I typically do Radio Row and fly home and watch the game at home with my family. Now my family's flying here, and we're going to go broadcast the game.
You got an extra?
And it's, you know, chance for this great franchise to get their six. So I'm having a great, great, great week and a great season.
Thanks for coming on. Have a great call.
Anything for you, brother. Love you.
See you, Greg.
You'll be good, man.
Well, it's hard to beat. He's not your typical play-by-play guy. He knows his stuff. You know, he kind of talks like a coach. He likes football more than me. I don't know anyone. You know, sometimes broadcasters, I think they like it. They don't like it like that. This guy likes sports just in general probably more than any human I've ever met. Like, I live for him. I clearly am on the high end as well. He likes him more, and especially football. That guy watches so much football. So, you know, for the one Super Bowl that he made with the Raiders, it was a long time ago. And then they were so terrible for so long. And the butt of every joke. He gets hired by the Niners. Let's, you know, this isn't meant to be a shot if you're a Raider fan out there. But they're a much bigger brand. They're just a much bigger organization. And first year goes Super Bowl. So, you know, he got fired from the Raiders as well. He had the irony, too, is that he made the owner mad. He has a radio show because he said they shouldn't hire Mike Shanahan because Mike Shanahan had a beef with Al Davis, and Al Davis was his guy. And now he works for the team that has Mike Shanahan's son, Kyle. But he liked Mike Shanahan. It was more just the disrespect for Al. Mark Davis, really petty. Raiders fired him. And, yeah, you know, small world. Luckily, he lived in an area where there's two NFL teams, and the Niners were like, well, you're a guy. And now 1 year in, he's in the Super Bowl. Let's go a couple Middlecoff mailbags. I got to get a little more active on Insta. I told people I was going to be all over the place on Instagram doing the Super Bowl. I'll try to get better as the week goes. Okay, let's bang out a couple questions at John Middlecoff on my Instagram. It's where you get in. After months of listening, great show content, I just followed you on Instagram, and guess what? You don't look how I thought you would look. So that means I look fantastic, huh? Question, how many years, if even measurable at this stage, do you think the Giants are from contending for the next NFC Championship game? I'd say at least two. And that's best case. To me, the only chance they are even remotely close is if Daniel Jones flips the switch and becomes a Pro Bowl-level quarterback in the next 2 years. And I just think Jason Garrett's the OC. You got Joe Judge, which we know nothing about besides a special teams coach. There's just a lot of questions. A lot more questions right now than answers on the New York Giants. But you got Saquon, so at least enjoy that. Do you think the Giants can become a Super Bowl? God, we got a lot of Giants fans. Become a Super Bowl contender with Gettleman as the GM? I'm doubtful with some of his baffling decisions and quotes to the media, but he does seem capable of drafting good players at least. Thank you for the podcast. Well, I think actually it's a two-part question. I think it's Daniel Jones going to have to be dramatically better, and Joe Judge is going to have to be a good coach. And I just think our unknown on Joe Judge, I can't even begin to have an opinion. You know, I thought, regardless of what I think of his press conference, it doesn't mean a damn thing. Because I hated LaFleur's press conference. 6 months later or 8 months later or whenever, I guess it would have been like nine. Because it was actually longer than that. A year later, he was in the NFC Championship game. So I'm what press conferences, regardless, it's just a media take. I don't know. I know nothing about his coaching ability. Absolutely nothing. So it's going to be on him being good. Big Charger fan from Philly, and the Chargers officially moving on from Phil. Who should they take? I would trade up for Tua, but that usually isn't what Telesco does. Herbert seems like the safe pick here, but I've been hearing a lot of buzz on Jordan Love. I don't think you can move on from Phillip Rivers to Jordan Love. To me, it has to be Herbert, or it has to be Tua. My guess would it becomes Herbert. But it's kind of clear that they like Herbert, so it's already getting out there. I'd be careful. Teams are going to trade up for these guys. As I said, I think three of them are going to go in the top five, and I'd have to double-check the draft. But aren't the Chargers drafting sixth? So they're going to have to get up a couple spots. Now, the good thing about being sixth, doesn't cost you that much to get to three or two, right? When you're at 18 to get to three or two, it's a lot. When you're at six, it's just, you know, like a couple twos.
Love the show, but last week's Friday episode and this week's Monday episode aren't showing up on the Three and Out section on Apple Podcasts. Thought I'd let you know. They're showing up on the Collins Herd section. I thought I'd listen to mine on, not listen, but check, just updated it the other day that it was on the Three and Out Podcast section. So, I don't know. If it's not, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. Good thing is, we got a little dual feed. You can always go to Colin. Where do you see Phillip Rivers going? Is there any chance the Chargers trade up into the top five and take Tua Herbert? Yep. Are the Jags a possible landing spot for free agent quarterbacks? No. The Foles experiment failed miserably, and I don't think anyone sees Minshew as a long-term starter. I think the question is with Phillip Rivers, where does he go? I think he'd have some... Is he better than Ryan Tannehill right now? I don't know. I thought Phillip Rivers looked pretty washed. Would Jameis... Jameis throws a lot of picks, but he is a really explosive player. Is Phillip that level explosive? Carolina, you know, would they cut Cam and go with him? I don't know. I think there are a lot more questions than answers right now, and I really don't have a good feel. Would John Gruden be interested? To me, the Raiders, Tampa, Tennessee, if he truly becomes a free agent, meaning they don't franchise him, I think we'll all kick the tires and talk to him about options. He clearly will be a starting quarterback. I think the Chicago Bears... I mean, Mitch Trubisky, even as bad as Phillip Rivers was in 2019, I would take Phillip Rivers with one leg over Mitch Trubisky in a heartbeat. Are there any other questions? I've been wondering your opinion. I got an ultimate. What do you think about AUDL? I've been wondering your opinion on the ultimate frisbee in the professional league for a while, and since Fox agreed to show the game this week, I felt like it is being taken more seriously. I'll be honest. I don't know if this is a complete joke or not. I didn't know that professional frisbee was a thing. I have no takes because I've literally never seen it. I've never played it. I've never seen it. But if you're being serious and Fox does have it, I will check it out. I will definitely check it out. Appreciate everyone listening. Be back again on Friday. And just keep swinging, getting ready for this game. Adios. Godspeed. Talk to y'all soon. Enjoy the week. Get ready for the Super Bowl. Let's go. See ya.